الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد إن شاء الله today we're also going to do qiyam in about 3 hours so we'll keep it nice and sweet and short. Yesterday we spoke about, what did we speak about yesterday? We spoke about the importance of good company. Seems that only one brother was listening. We spoke about the importance of good company and how keeping good people around you can benefit you in such a way that it can also lead to your forgiveness by Allah. Now when coming on to the 12th juz of the Quran, before we take the lesson, we need to understand that the beauty on the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was parallel to none. One Sahabi, Jabir radiallahu anhu, he says, I came out on the day of the 14th moon. I looked at the moon, I looked at my Nabi. I looked at the moon, I looked at my Nabi. I looked at the moon, I looked at my Nabi. And I came to the conclusion that the beauty, the radiance emanating from the face and from my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was far greater than the beauty that was emanating from the moon. Such was the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha used to say that when the women of Yusuf saw Yusuf, what happened? قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ, they cut their fingers. If those same women of Yusuf were to see my Muhammad, they would cut their hearts out. That was the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But towards the end of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he tells him, O Messenger of Allah, it seems to me that perhaps you may be aging. I'm seeing a few white hairs on your head and on your beard. What's going on, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave him an answer, and that's the answer that we are going to take as the lesson of the 12th juz of the Quran. So far we've done 11 lessons, this is the 12th. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replies to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, O Abu Bakr, shayyabatni Hud wa akhawatuha. The surah Hud and its sisters, meaning similar surahs with similar themes and similar messages, have made me go old. Some narrations say Rasulullah ﷺ had 14 white hairs on his hair, on his head and his beard. Some say 16, some say 17. The maximum is Rasulullah ﷺ, he died at the age of 63. He never had no more than 20 white hairs on his head and his beard combined. That was the beauty of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But what is it that Surah Hud has got, which consists and fulfills and completes 3/4 of the 12 juz of the Quran, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that this surah, it made me get a few white hairs on my head. Similarly, along with Surah Hud, there was Surah Mursalat, there was Idha Waqa'atil Waqi'ah, Idha Shamsu Kuwirat. What do all these surahs have that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam became old? He got a few white hairs on his head. The one common theme in all the surahs is all of them speak about the day of Qiyamah. إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفًا إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ الْحَاقَّةِ مَا الْحَاقَّةِ. Even Surah Al-Hud speaks about the day of Qiyamah. The lesson we will take from this juz is one ayah.
فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ.
O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Remain steadfast as you have been ordered to do so. Unfortunately, Abdul Mu'id isn't here, but if he was here, we would have said that from what I've heard, he loves to, when he goes to the gym, he loves doing, what is it called? Deadlifts. He's always going to the gym and he's doing deadlifts. And he's become a person who's consistent on it whenever he goes. Rasulullah ﷺ is told in this verse of the Quran that remain steadfast, remain consistent in your a'mal like you have been ordered to do so. The lesson we take is the lesson of consistency. Today is the 17th night of Ramadan. Who knows the significance of the 17th night of Ramadan? What happened in the 17th night? This night holds great significance in the life of a believer. If we understood and we read and we analyzed and we studied the seer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened on the 17th night? Battle of Badr, that's it, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. On the 17th night of Ramadan, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me correct, in the second year of Hijrah, the Battle of Badr took place. 313 men against close to 1,000. They got hundreds of camels, hundreds of horses. They got so much preparation behind them for this battle. The Muslim are mere 313. Barely any horses, barely any camels. What's the lesson and what did they do? Rasulullah is sitting and standing in his tent. His hands are raised high. You can see his armpits. He's making dua to Allah. Oh Allah, if you destroy these 313 men who are going to participate in this battle, oh Allah, there will be no one to carry this deen forth. Allah accepted the dua of Rasulullah. Rasulullah spent that night crying in the tent. He spent that night worrying in that tent. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu comes and he consoles and he hugs the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Because of that dua being accepted, we have this kalima with us today. But 313 men against 1,000, they had to remain steadfast. Imagine 313 and you see 1,000 in front of you, you see 100 camels, 100 horses. What level of steadfastness would you have had to have in your iman to make sure you stood there? But that was sahaba. Those were the companions. Those were our forefathers. Those were our role models. Those are those people we wish to emulate. The 17th night of Ramadan was the night when the Battle of Badr took place. When Sahabi comes to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, kulli fil Islami qawlan la as'alu anhu ahadan ghayrak. O Messenger of Allah, tell me something in Islam that I don't need to ask anyone else. What you give me, the advice you give me is sufficient for me. I don't need to ask any other person besides you. From the question, you can understand the significance of the answer. If I came to this brother and I told him I need some advice, I'm not going to go to anyone else. You're the only guy I'm going to ask. He'll think very carefully before he speaks. Because he knows I'm not going to go to anyone else. Whatever he tells me, I'll implement and I'll act upon. So this sahabi comes and he says, O Messenger of Allah, tell me something. I'm not going to ask anyone after you. What advice do you think the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gave him? Qul, say, Amantu billah, I believe in Allah, thumma istaqim, then remain steadfast. This is normally a talk that is given towards the end of Ramadan, maybe on the day of Eid or the first Jumu'ah after Ramadan. The lesson of consistency. In Ramadan, you learn to worship Allah in a certain manner. In Ramadan, you build within yourself certain characteristics. In Ramadan, you built between you and your Creator a connection. In Ramadan, you built such a'mal in your life which you've done for 30 days consistently. The lesson is, after Ramadan, remain consistent on some of the a'mal. Choose one action from this Ramadan that you will do the entire year. Unfortunately, through social media, everything we do, people are showing off. Everything we do, people are Snapchatting them in the masjid and I'm praying Quran and look at the Quran and everything we do is to show people. I think last year I mentioned as well that one person, he was standing in the masjid at 10 a.m. performing Salatul Duha. So a few travelers just happened to pass into the masjid. And when they passed into the masjid and they seen this person, they were shocked, like in this day and age, 21st century, subhanAllah, someone performing Salatul Duha. So they were praising him. And whilst he's in his salah, he hears them praising him. So in his salah, he tells them, brothers, I don't want to boast or show off, but just to let you know, I'm also fasting. Just to let you know, I'm also fasting. Look at how shaitan deceives a person. We do action solely for Allah. Social media has ripped that away from us, taken that away from us. Everything we do, we want to show off. Everything we do, we want to show the world. Choose one action that is solely between you and your Creator. One action between you and your Maker. One action between you and your Sustainer, that this only me and my Allah know. Not my wife, not my father, not my mother, not my brother, not my sister, not my child. No one. Me and my Allah. And we'll end with this. Allah says in the Quran, someone might ask, brother, what's the benefit of being consistent? What's the benefit of istiqamah, of steadfastness? Allah Rabbul Izzah says, you want to know the benefit? Open the Quran, it's there. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Verily, those people who say our Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And then they remain steadfast on iman. What happens? The benefit is, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels descend on this person. Now I want to put you in a scenario where, imagine, you're going through some midlife crisis, some difficulty in your life. There's nobody that can help you. But at that moment, someone comes and helps you because of something you've done in the past. How valuable would you hold the action that you've done in the past due to which this person is helping you? For example, I've done something for Munib. 20 years down the line, he's stuck in a car accident somewhere and no one's picking up. He's stranded, no one's calling him. And he calls me, and because of that thing he done for me, I go and I help him out. What he done for me, he'll remember that for the rest of his life. If you have istiqamah, the three times in our lives and after death where we will be most in need of help, number one is when? At the time of your deathbed. When you're going through the pangs of death, no one can help you. People can make talqeen and say, brother, say la ilaha illallah, say la ilaha illallah. But that moment, no one can help you. When you go in and you're on your deathbed at that time, if you had istiqamah on iman, the angels will descend. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. Don't be scared. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't be sad. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. Take glad tidings of that Jannah which you have been promised. Imagine that. You're on your deathbed, you feel helpless, you can't do nothing. But angel tells you, come brother, relax, you've got nothing to worry about, man. I'm giving you glad tidings of Jannah. The second time is when you're in your grave and that last person is gone. Now you're alone. Now no business is going to help you, no wealth. Now you're alone in your grave. If you are a person of istiqamah, the moment the last person is gone and you're scared and the angels come in a scary form. Another angel will come and say, my brother, relax, you've got nothing to worry about. When you are resurrected on the plains of the mahshar of Qiyamah, everyone is panicking. If you are a person of istiqamah, relax, my brother, you've got nothing to worry about. Remember one thing, الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. This whole dunya was created for you and you and I were created for the akhirah. We end with this example. For us to understand that we have to leave this world. When the child is in the womb of the mother for 9 months, after 9 months, the mother gives birth to the child. For 9 months, the child was comfortable in the womb. That womb was everything for the child. Now, the moment the mother gives birth to the child and the child comes into this dunya, the child is crying. I was so comfortable. I was happy. Where have I come to? So the child comes into the dunya, he's crying, everyone around him is smiling. Everyone around him is happy. But he's thinking, where have I ended up? I was so comfortable, I don't want to be here. Tell that same child, one is 15 years old, you want to go back into the room, what's the answer? No. Brother, I got this whole dunya, I'm living in the US, I'm enjoying, I'm going, I got Disney World and Universal, I'm enjoying my life. Why would I want to go back there? That's darkness, that's boring. Similarly, my brothers, this dunya is our womb. We're not here to live forever and ever. That 9 months that we were in the womb, the amount of years we are in this world is our womb. So we need to live in a manner in which, because of the istiqamah and the glad tidings of the angel at the time of death, we leave this world smiling and the people around us are crying. What an amazing man we lost today. What an amazing, exceptional individual. What a legacy he left behind. The child came into the dunya crying, everyone was smiling. We need to live in a manner in which we depart the dunya smiling, everyone around us is crying. Because this dunya hasn't been created for us. We've been created for Jannah. The dunya is just our service. Allah subjugated it for us. Use it, enjoy it, and then go to Jannah. Jannah is your final abode. But the key to get to Jannah is you have to be steadfast on what we have. This iman, if you're not steadfast on it and you die without it, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to us? What's going to be our outcome? So we make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzah. The lesson of the 12 Juz of the Quran is the lesson of steadfastness. In this Ramadan, you came to the masjid, you build that connection. People may have looked at you funny, brother, you never in the masjid the whole year. Why are you coming in Ramadan? Don't worry, let people say what they want to say. At the end of the day, it's between me and my Creator. O Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are valuable. We said this the other day. Understand your value. Understand you are special to Allah. Understand that Allah is wishing, just start this relationship and I'll carry it forward. Take that one step towards me and I'll send my blessings rushing towards you. O Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have steadfastness in your life. Become a person of istiqamah. Become a person who is persistent on his a'mal. And we end with one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he was asked by one sahabi, Ayyul a'mal ahabbu ilallah? Ayyul a'mal ahabbu ilallah? O Messenger of Allah, which action is most beloved to Allah? What did he say? Adwamuha wa in qalla. The action which is done consistently, even if it is minimal. You put $1 in sadaqah every day. What's $1? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the most beloved action to Allah is the action which is done, which may be minimal in quantity, but is done with steadfastness. You perform 2 rak'at every month, tahajjud. It's only 2 rak'at in 30 days, but you do it every month, is beloved to Allah. You drop $1 sadaqah every month, is beloved to Allah. You feed a person every month, is beloved to Allah. You buy a gift for someone every month or every week, whatever is in your capacity, capability, is beloved to Allah. Something we see as insignificant, what's $1 going to do? But أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The action which is done consistently, even if it's small, don't worry about quantity. Allah looks at quality, Allah looks at consistency, Allah looks at istiqamah. So make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzah, He allow us to have this steadfastness in our lives. We got steadfastness in everything, my brothers. It's high time, high time. We start worrying about our deen. All of us are young, young brothers. You got your whole lives ahead of you. Imagine $1 in sadaqah every day or $1 every week, and you live for the next 40 years. How many good deeds have we accumulated? $1 a week, $1 a month? It's nothing. Adwamuha. Remember this hadith, put it on your heart and your mind. Adwamuha wa in qalla. Most beloved to Allah is that which is done with consistency, even if it is minimal. What's the dua we done yesterday for the sunnah? Allahu Akbar. We said if we see someone that's going through some difficulty, some hardship, part of the dua is a bit lengthier. Alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma btalaka bih. Another dua, what other sunnah dua can we do? Another dua we'll take for today. Has anyone been memorizing any of the du'as? Or should we just leave it there and for the remainder of the month, you just carry on learning those du'as? Because mashallah, it seems like people over here got photographed it like some crazy memory, man. No one needs to write the du'as. First time they hear it, first time they remember it. Allahu Akbar. No, inshallah. Okay, just a very quick, the first dua, and try to learn this dua. Obviously, we say the dua, Allahumma laka sumtu wa bika amantu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa ala rizqika aftartu fataqabbal minni. But the most authentic dua that's come in hadith with regards to the dua that needs to be said at the time of iftar is, ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَبْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ. I feel like I'm saying it for the first time, everyone's looking confused. ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَبْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ inshaAllah. And then we said the duas of coming in and out of the toilet. And does anyone know the dua when you enter the masjid? There's so many sunnahs when you come in the masjid. You come in with your right foot, you say the dua, Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik, you make niyyah of i'tikaf, you send durood and salawat on the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, 4 sunnahs every time you enter the masjid. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. I'm sure everyone can at least memorize this one. Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik. For our entire lives, we're going to be in and out of the masjid. Even if we don't come by choice, sometimes Allah puts us through conditions where we have to come. We ain't got no choice. So inshallah, Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatik, coming in with the right foot, making niyyah of i'tikaf as long as we are in the masjid, and sending durood and salawat on the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, shukran la ilaha illa anta.